Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Good Life Podcast, a platform to help you heal, grow, and empower your life. My name is Noor. I'm a therapist, podcaster, and an advocate for empowered living. I'm truly honored to have you here with me on this journey of healing and recovery. So thank you so much for being here with me. Your beautiful presence is truly appreciated. In today's episode, we are embarking on a journey of exploration into the world of creative therapy. We live in a society that often associates healing with an arduous, painful, and solemn process. Do you agree? What if healing could also be filled with creativity, self-discovery, and even joy? Today, we are challenging the traditional narrative by looking at healing through the lens of creativity. I'm thrilled to have two exceptional guests with me today, each bringing their unique therapeutic approach to our discussion. Joining us are two guest experts from counseling perspective, Gayatri, an art psychotherapist who specializes in helping young individuals through creative discovery and healing. She also extends her person-centered, holistic approach to parents, fostering healthier relational dynamics. Our second guest is Amber, a pioneering drama therapist who leverages the power of drama and somatics to inspire self-compassion and ignite the healing process within. Her work draws on various frameworks, understandings, and practices underpinned by trauma-informed approaches. Together, we will deep dive into the world of art and drama therapy, demystifying any misconceptions, sharing inspiring stories from their practices, and exploring how these creative processes can actually facilitate a healing journey that's not just transformative, but also engaging and enjoyable. So, whether you're looking to learn more about alternative therapeutic approaches or seeking ways to enrich your own journey of healing and growth, this episode is for you. So sit back, relax, and let's explore the transformative power of healing through creativity. Welcome, Gayatri and Amber, to the Good Life Podcast. Thank you so much for being here with me.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. So, you know, just to start off, right, could you each share what, you know, your respective fields of art and drama therapy are all about? Because I'm sure, you know, for some of the listeners out there, this might be a completely new field for them. Yeah.
I can go first.
Sure.
So I specialize in art psychotherapy, and it is a very integrative approach to mental health. It has various elements like kinesthetic, sensory, perceptual, symbolic, that all open different gateways for people to be more expressive, mm-hmm. be more communicative, heal, understand their feelings better. And personally, I've always found art to be really healing personally, and I've also seen it come through in my sessions as well. And visual representations of your emotions, feelings, what you want to communicate is so much more powerful, I find, than words alone. And yeah, I mainly work with children and young adults. And that is where I find most fulfillment as well in the work that I do.
Wow, beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And how about you, Amber?
Yeah, so art therapy and drama therapy are actually part of the same family of the creative arts therapies that include so art, drama, music, dance, movement, and play. So drama therapy is my background in training, and in drama therapy, it really is about finding options and finding choices and giving choices to the way in which you want to express. And in drama therapy, we can work with various different things and different ways of working. It can be through role play, through characters, through objects, through images, through self-led movement, through play, through games. So even though it sounds like a super niche modality. It's actually really broad in a sense as well. And ultimately, what it is that through giving choices and through giving different ways in which you can choose to express yourself, you actually are able to develop a new or a renewed way of awareness or of perspective or of understanding things that sometimes you just don't really understand. And it's giving choices also beyond words, because sometimes you just don't know how you're feeling, or you don't know how to put into words what you're feeling. Yeah. But you know that just something just doesn't feel right, but you just don't know how to describe it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I think it's really powerful because, you know, it reminds me when I was a kid, I connected to drama and art a whole lot. I don't know, like I just found myself just loving how to like express myself through my drawings, through painting, even music. And I think like what you shared, sometimes the struggles that we go through on the inside, we might not really have the words to describe what we're going through. But I guess through creative therapy, drama, art, whatever it is, it gives people that alternative, additional options for them to choose. Like, okay, if you choose to not want to talk about it, or you don't know how to use verbal, you know, like cues to express it, there are these other ways on how you can still express yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it is about the expression, and it is finding ways in which what is on the inside that doesn't have the words or doesn't have the vocabulary can come out in a different way. Like, it's just providing an avenue of choices, right?
And I think another beautiful thing about the art therapist is that we follow the bottom-up approach most times. I think it's quite common for us in society to always intellectualize our feelings.
Yeah, yes.
And always think that, okay, this is the problem, it's fine, and I know the reasons for it intellectually. But the bottom-up process is so beautiful because you connect with all these different materials, art materials, or different types of play, narrative, storytelling. And through that, you kind of approach the emotion at its base first, and then move upward to make connections on what it's really coming within from. And that's, I find it's quite astounding.
And it's really a connection to the embodied process, right? Because like the arts therapies is kind of connecting to a different side of our brain and kind of allowing that to make meaning and to connect. And actually so much of it, we're so disconnected from our bodies.
Yes.
So much is like, what are you thinking? Or like, what are you feeling? But actually think about what you're feeling. And then it's so hard to think about what I'm feeling.
I know,
And just being able to drop into the body, or like to use our senses to explore, like there's a whole new dimension that's open there. And then the connection will come, maybe not immediately, but there is a connection there.
Yeah, I think that's so true. I think what I'm seeing a lot that's happening is the issue of disconnection. Like people disconnect from their bodies, but they aren't even aware that that's happening. And then they are stuck in that cycle of trying to like reason out and intellectualize, you know, their struggles and their pain. And they're stuck in that, you know, the vicious cycle. And then they wonder, why is it they're still not feeling any better? And in my own personal healing journey, it started off with a lot of like, you know, talk therapy, using the mind, using the brain to understand like, you know, what went through, to make sense of it. But I soon realized that after a certain point, it really hit that roadblock. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I've done all the readings, I know a lot of it, but why is it I still feel so much pain? Mm-hmm. So, you know, in your sessions, you know, using that bottom-up approach, what do clients usually expect? What do you really go through with them in such sessions?
It's a hard one to say like what one session might look like, because it's so dependent on the client and it's so dependent on the individual. And actually, I really resonate with what you're saying about understanding, like cognitively I understand what's going on, but something just doesn't feel like it's been unlocked yet. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with trying to make meaning through intellectualizing, but sometimes there needs to be some kind of other unlocking that happens. And everything is stored in our body, right? Like all of our experiences, all of our memories, like all of these things are stored in our body. And if we don't allow for that to come through the body, then it's never actually going to move out, if that makes sense.
Like, yeah,
it's
not final release.
Yeah. So it's hard to say, like, oh, this is what happens in a drama therapy or art therapy session. But I suppose we could give an example of what might happen.
Yeah.
So in a typical session, we'll start with a check-in, some kind of check-in, and for some people, they might prefer a verbal check-in, so we just do a verbal check-in.
Mm-hmm.
For some, it might be like doing a body scan, so reconnecting with the body. It could also be just kind of doing a little ritual of, like, for example, lighting up a candle or something that marks the beginning of a session.
Mm.
And at the end of the session, do the same. So do a checkout, but it can be in your form, in your way of checking out, whether it's verbal or through connecting through the body or blowing out the candle. And what happens in between is like it's like where all the possibilities can happen, right? So it can be either working through stories, or it can be working with sand, or it can be working with objects, or it can be working with just kind of like prompts that you then create a visual image about. And then through there's some kind of meaning-making process or not, depending on where you are or where the person is. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking while Amber was saying all that, I resonate with that in my sessions as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a beginning, there's an ending, and in the middle is a lot of space for exploration, a lot of space for play, possibilities, mm-hmm. like you said. And because I work mainly with children, it's always so different. Like, I could give one child one material, but the way that they use it or the way that they express themselves can be so different in each session.
Yeah,
it's an endless possibility that comes out with any session.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And what are, like, some of the common challenges that you often see and experience in your sessions with your clients as you're facilitating, you know, and walking with them in their healing journey?
It's a big question. I don't know whether challenges is the right word for me. Maybe it's more of like being with the unknown. And sometimes, like, when the beauty of working through a creative art form or through ways beyond words, sometimes you just have to be with the unknown, and you have to be with whatever that is and be okay with not cognitively knowing or being able to have the answers immediately. And I think sometimes, like, that's the biggest challenge, but also that's the most beautiful part of it, of like just being with whatever that is, and then allowing it to unfold in its own time. Which is why it's so important for therapists to be in therapy and to be in supervision, because the place where you're able to kind of speak with someone about, like, what's going on, like what do you think is happening, or how can I just be with whatever this person is bringing.
That reminds me of a quote, like, you know, you can only, like, meet someone as far as, you know, how far you've met yourself on the inside. And I think as a therapist, it can be challenging to do so if there's not much of the meeting or the insight that has been done. And I think especially when doing, like, an embodied work, that is something that's really important to really connect with what happens inside.
Yeah. What you said reminded me about another quote, which goes like, when two people come together, or a therapist and a client come together, it's essentially two histories coming together.
Mm.
And I think when I was thinking about the challenge per se on my part, I think me and a lot of other therapists that I've spoken to face with this challenge of being like this perfect therapist, right? Like we're expected to just kind of heal someone,
have
right?
No
away.
Flaws.
Have no flaws. We ourselves can't have like this emotional experience along with the client, but it's just not possible.
Yeah.
And so the challenge here would be like, you know, how to be okay with that yourself as a therapist, how to, you know, in the session when you're feeling that something's shifting within you, when you're feeling that, you know, this is affecting me too, how do you kind of balance it out in session with your client as well? And how do you reflect on it after sessions if, you know, if your thinking was a little bit impaired or if you were coming from self-judgment?
Yeah.
So again, your own personal therapy, your own supervision all comes to play. Yeah. And just accepting that we as therapists are not meant to be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a whole book called The Myth of the Untroubled Therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And it exactly speaks about this. Mm-hmm. And I think actually the more we're able to be in tune with ourselves, the more we're able to then know what's our story and what's their story.
Yeah.
And then we're able to hold their story better in a sense. But I don't know whether better is the right word, but to hold them in a place of not merging or not colluding or not bringing our own stuff, knowing that we have our place to take that. But yeah, there is a huge, and there I think there's an entire stigma around therapy as well, that you go into therapy to be fixed or you go into therapy to be healed by someone. But actually the healing comes from within you, and us as therapists, we're just there to kind of guide you through that process. And there's nothing that needs to be fixed or changed.
Yeah.
It's more of just coming with a lens of curiosity and openness and wondering.
What would be, you know, some of the really common misconceptions out there when it comes to healing that you feel needs to be debunked?
Yeah, I mean, start with myself. I always, like, at one point I was like, am I done? Like, am I done? Like, this is too much. And I just have to constantly remind myself that it is a journey.
Yeah.
It's not a full stop. Each time it's a comma.
And
finding that place of I mean, it takes a lot of reminding, and healing is uncomfortable, and healing will be uncomfortable, but exactly through finding creative ways or finding different ways to facilitate that uncomfortableness is really helpful sometimes in just reminding us that it doesn't always have to be hard, like really hard, even though it does feel hard sometimes. It's meant to be uncomfortable, I think.
I always used to remind myself is that healing isn't linear. I always tend to think of it like as a spiral, like you're just going upward and upward. So even in therapy, you might be thinking, if it's linear, then do I stay in therapy forever? No, you don't. I think of therapy as like a space for you to overcome your challenges, build different tools that can aid you in your life further.
Yeah.
And you can keep using those tools as you go on to different problems, different challenges in your life.
Yeah.
And challenges will come, problems will come.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just life.
Yeah. Essentially what it is that you're resourcing yourself, right? Like you're just constantly building resources and building your toolkit.
Yeah. That's so true. I think with life, we need to make sure that whatever is in our life toolbox, it's enough for us to actually go through whatever we're going through right now. And if it's not, I feel that it is our responsibility to actually proactively seek out the right tools, the right support, to make sure that we are in a place to be able to navigate through that in the best way possible, and not, you know, feeling as though we are totally paralyzed, but whatever life is kind of throwing at us.
And also that every journey is different, and everybody's journey will look different, and there's no one way in which it needs to be done. It's finding what works for you, and finding your way in and the way that in which you want to to do so. Like, it's your work and it's your journey, and you are in power of choosing that.
Speaking of that, you know, like, this is also another common struggle that I feel a lot of people face, which is actually comparing the self, the journey of the self, to like other people, right? And especially right now, we're living in the social media era. We're looking at perfectly curated posts, people living joyous, happy lives, and it's hard to not like compare, right? I think a lot of people feel as though they're not doing enough, or they're not healing at the rate that should be fast enough for them to then, you know, achieve all these things that they want to do. So where do you think, you know, when it comes to like the constant comparison of the self to others, where do you think that usually stems from, and how can one actually start overcoming that that blockage?
I think what you said about the constant access to social media is one big aspect of it, especially with the generations that are growing up with social media. You know, they have this constant access to like, oh, I want to do this, I want to go there, I want to be this person, I want these clothes. It's just like, it's a constant reminder of what you don't have. And that gets kind of like ingrained as you constantly grow up with that. But I also feel that growing up, your early childhood experiences, you know, with your caregivers or with your other caretakers also play a huge role in that as well. You know, a lot of kids growing up feeling like they're not good enough because their parents never gave them the affirmation, or they never thought that they were good enough. And that kind of relays onto a lot of life stories as well that I have seen in within my sessions as well, that they just don't feel like they're good enough. And so they seek this comparison, or they seek this like, this is what I need to be. I'm not okay with who I am. So it's a lot of cycles that need to be broken through, I find.
I mean, it's a huge question. I feel like that could be an entire podcast on its own. But it is the reality that we're actually living in a very traumatized world. And we're living in a place that in which most of the time we're not responding from a place of a regulated nervous system. And when that is the case, it's really hard to really come from a place of true authentic self. And you're just kind of finding ways in which you can fit in to what society deems as good, or what society deems as the way to be. But actually, a big part of healing is the asking of us to debunk this, and the asking of us to release and unlearn the ways in which we've been expected, or the ways we've learned to see ourselves. And that in itself is really hard, and that in itself will be uncomfortable, because it's so not familiar.
It's so
right?
foreign,
it's so
right?
unfamiliar in that way. But actually, it's that there needs to be a consistent repatterning. It's not that it happens one time and then it's done. Like, it's a very nuanced process.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, how will you then work with a client who comes in and says, "I feel that I'm constantly feeling like I'm a failure, I'm not good enough"? How will you actually fuse, like, you know, using creative therapy, the embodied approach, to be able to help a client who's going through that struggle?
So mainly with the kids that I work, I see that issue as well, because at the beginning, when they start off with sessions, they feel like they have to draw like this perfect picture, or they feel like, oh, I'm not good at drawing. I see that a lot with adults too, mostly with adults than kids, actually, because even if I'm doing like workshops or groups where we're just having an art experiential, at least one person will come up and tell me, "I'm not a creative. I can only draw a stick figure. I have no experience in art." But I tell them that creativity is in a lot of things that you do. It doesn't really have to be just painting a perfect picture of the apple. It's a lot of things that you can do. And so in my sessions with kids, in the beginning, if there's some sorts of like hesitancy that I'm not good enough or, oh, this is not nice. That's mm-hmm. usually what tell me. But over time, with encouragement, with acceptance within themselves and through my affirmations, they start to create like this sense of confidence. Creativity in itself can allow you to have that sense of confidence within yourself that, mm-hmm. you know, this yeah. is not a space to make mistakes. This is a space to explore, yeah. to just play around with the material, see what comes up.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's a huge, it's one of the big myths of the arts therapies, right? Like, I'm not creative. I'm yeah. not a creative person. I can't act or I can't draw.
Yeah.
And actually, you don't need any of those yeah. to benefit from the arts therapies. It's the intentional use of the art processes that actually provide the holding.
Mm-hmm.
And creativity, like Gayatri mentioned, creativity is not about like drawing the perfect picture and having it hung up in a museum.
Having the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but that's what we associate to yeah. like, being an artist is, yeah. right? But actually creativity is it's coming from a place of wondering.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming from a place of exploring. It's coming from a place of question marks. It's coming from a place of curiosity,
yeah,
rather than fear.
Mm, yeah.
And because I mean it happens all the time, like even within my personal life, it's always like I'm not creative, like I can't do that thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's so hard to explain to them. I just say you just have to come and experience it.
Yeah, you just have to try it.
And you know what? Try. Like creative therapy, it is an experiential process.
Yeah.
And you'll never really know if it works for you until you give yourself that opportunity to just like try. And as you mentioned, one doesn't need prior experience in like, you know, art or drama to be able to partake in the therapeutic sessions.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. I think just for us to give ourselves the opportunity to be curious, to be open-minded, and to see where it goes, right?
Yeah.
Because when it comes to healing, it's not like one fixed standard way of getting ourselves where to a place of where we want to be. We have to be ready and open-minded to try out new things. There's a lot of trial and error.
Yeah.
You know, some things might not work for us, and that's okay. If it doesn't, we got to move on to find something else that will work for us. Just yeah, to try to keep on going, just to try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
The process that, you know, you're talking about, it's messy.
Yeah, it's messy.
It's going to be messy.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the fun part. Like, if there's no straight, direct answer and you just have to try it, all these different things, it's going to be messy. You're going to fail. And at the end, it's just either you're going to find out something about yourself or you're going to think that, okay, this is the medium that I want to choose to continue to continue my healing journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. One is reminding me of one of a quote by a pioneer drama and play therapist, Dr. Sue Jennings. And she says, stay with the mess, stay with the chaos, and out comes the form. Like it's only in staying with the mess and staying with the unknown.
Yeah.
It's hard. It really is hard. But it's in that, but that's, it's so beautiful that there is like a tangible way of seeing the mess as well in the arts therapies, right? Mm-hmm. Of like, and out will come the form of it. Out will come some kind of meaning.
Yeah.
Eventually.
That's beautiful. I think, you know, like, staying with our mess, being with our chaos, it can be really very intimidating, but I find that when we find the right people, the professionals that will be able to hold space and support us in that mess that we're in, it doesn't become so daunting and overwhelming and scary. In fact, it can become more enjoyable because you will have someone there to, like, you know, walk with you in your journey instead of actually walking through that mess and that darkness all alone.
Yeah.
I think, messiness is a part of being human.
Yeah.
And the more we accept that, the more closer we come to healing as well.
Yeah.
We're all very complex individuals.
Yeah.
And we're all very different, and embracing our mess and complexity is part of it.
I think that's such an important message because we've been so trained and conditioned to think that we need to be this simplified being with no mess, no flaws. And can you imagine how much pressure it puts on a person to, like, you know, navigate through life? It's extremely tiring. It's no wonder that, you know, people end up with having different personalities because they're constantly having to put on, you know, different masks, living a different life. And that is extremely exhausting. Mm. It's exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah. The process that you're speaking about actually is fragmentation. And that is it's a trauma response. It's like when we are in a place that where we are told we know that one part of us is not accepted, we tuck it in.
Yeah.
And then eventually, if we don't ever find connection to that part anymore, it becomes so isolated. But actually, we're all fragmented beings. Mm-hmm. It's kind of finding that ways in which we can connect to the core, to the core self, to that part of us that can hold all these different parts of us.
Yeah.
And find, you know, a place of non-judgment and wholeness again.
Beautiful. And what advice would you have for the listeners out there who are exploring, you know, art, drama, creative therapy, and they wouldn't know, like, you know, where to start? So where would you point them, or what resources would you share with them to help them to get started on their healing journey?
Yeah, I was thinking in more in terms of, like, things that you can adapt, or things you can kind of start at home as well, like when you're not really sure if you want to go to seek a professional. But there are certain things that you can do to have those little gaps in your weeks to kind of, like, have that sense of mindfulness or have that sense of, like, self-exploration within the week. And so my personal favorite is journaling, with a lot of different materials, magazines, sketch pens, paints. Just create a mess on that journal. It doesn't have to be like a perfectly written out poem.
I think it's also remembering that there is no one size fits all, right? There is no, like, one modality that's better than other. Yeah. It's just finding what works for you. Mm. And like you mentioned earlier, it's a whole trial and error process, but the only way you know is to try. Mm. The only way you can know is to see and to explore what works for you. And I think more than the modality, it's also how you feel with the therapist, like how you feel with the person in the room. Like, does this person make me feel safe? Does this person make me feel heard? Does this person make me feel seen? Mm. And if you're unsure of where to begin, I think it's always the first step is always the hardest, and putting your foot down and be like, okay, I'm going to go and ask for help, or I'm just going to go ask for help. Like, that's the hardest part of it sometimes. Yeah. But actually, if it's also part of the whole stigma of therapy, right? It's like, I only go for therapy because there's something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. But if we could shift that perspective into, actually, I want to go to therapy because I'm just curious about myself. I just want to find out more about myself. And I just want to find out more about how I can be and tune into my authentic self more. Mm. And I feel like that will shift a lot of things, because then it's no longer like I'm going there to talk about something and this has happened and it's really bothering me and I need to, like, find a solution for that. Yes, that can be part of it, but also that sense of curiosity and that sense of wondering and that sense of just going in to explore, I think is really important, especially if you're feeling like, oh, I'm not sure, like, whether I should do this, or I'm not sure whether I really need it. It's not about needing it, it's about just what makes you feel, like, good, what makes you feel like you can be more yourself.
Definitely. Like, the first step can be so scary. And like you said, I was just thinking about, like, my first experience with going to therapy. It was so scary. Like, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if I needed it. But I just felt this, like, move to go, and I did. And also what you said about finding the right therapist is so important, because I remember, you know, sitting down, having a couple of sessions with different therapists and just having this feeling in my body, knowing that this is not the space for me. I need to find a person that can hold me. And that can take a while as well.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You don't have to settle with the first therapy appointment that you go to. But yeah, it's a lot about discovering and undiscovering. It's about
rediscovering.
But I think one of the beautiful things about counseling perspective is that there is such a huge team. There is such a huge team, and there is such, it's a team of such varied approaches that there is no, it's not just like, there are so many different avenues in which you can explore. So it is a trial and error process, and sometimes it's, that's not what you want to hear. Like sometimes you just like, I just want to find that thing.
Yeah.
But I think one of the beautiful things also about the arts therapies is that there's so many options.
Yeah.
Like if you don't have words, fine. Let's do through visual art. If, oh, I can't, I don't really feel connected to this, fine. Let's work with objects. Oh, I don't really like this, fine. Do you have a story? What's your story? Like, do you have a story that you really love? And it's just, it's finding what's we're here to help guide that process of finding what works best for you and finding your way of expression and your mode of expression. And it can change as well. Like maybe sometimes like you feel like drawing or visually expressing works well for you, and other times you feel like just vocalizing or letting out sounds like feels better for you. So
yeah,
it's a whole, it's an entire range.
So many avenues.
So many avenues.
I also feel I'm not spoken about. Like in general, when you think about the arts therapies, most people have the conception, I'm going to draw or I'm going to paint.
Yeah. And I have to be good at it.
I have to be good at it.
Yeah.
And you're going to look at what I'm painting and you're going to tell me exactly what I'm thinking.
Exactly. That's what it is too.
Which is just a big misconception. Yeah. Like Amber said, there's so many avenues. It's not just your typical drawing and painting. It's clay. It's sand, it's going out to the nature, making mandalas out of
leaves. It sounds really fun, you know, like the list is like endless.
Which is why I was saying earlier, it sounds like such a niche topic, right? But I mean, it sounds like such a niche modality, but it's so broad as well. So sometimes, I mean, I don't know about you guys, Shree, but sometimes I find it so hard to explain what drama therapy is. And I'm just like, you just have to come and experience it because it's so hard. It's maybe because it, in a way, it is working beyond words, right? So it's like, how do I use words to describe
tell you?
But yeah, it is. It, and it's also a lot of times people have the misconception that it's the product of what you create. So even in drama therapy, sometimes it's like, oh, but I can't act. I don't know how to take on this character. It's not about that. It's like, how does it feel in your body?
Yeah.
How does it feel in your body to hold that tension? Like, where in your body is aching? And then what about the opposite? How does it feel to release that? You know, it's about the embodied process and feeling as opposed to the art form. The art form is just there to provide the vessel for exploring.
It's the process. I think I think when we are able to shift into the perspective that when we go through this process, we are walking through that journey instead of just, you know, focusing on the end point, the end goal, the end product. Powerful. And do you have some, you know, simple exercises that our listeners out there can actually try out today in their homes?
Yeah, I have a lot.
I think the way I work is that I work very intuitively. So, you know, if because I feel like I have an array of different materials available already at home. So whatever moves me to pick that material out when I feel moved to create something, that is what I do. And I don't necessarily have an endpoint in mind. I just let the materials tell me what they want me to kind of hold on to them and do, which I think can be quite powerful if you're trying that out at home as well. And I think a small activity that I think helps most people is to just create while listening to music, or create something as a response to music, which can be, you know, quite an exciting thing to do.
Yeah.
And I think I was saying earlier as well, journaling really helps. Just even like just writing down one word that you're feeling the biggest at the moment, or just like slapping on a piece of paint on the paper and then making meaning out of it, can tell you a lot about what you're feeling, what you need to let go of.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think it's all about fluidity. It's all about just trusting yourself,
yeah,
and trusting the materials to just guide you, and
yeah,
yeah, letting out what needs to be let out.
Yeah, I have a similar activity with color as well. And sometimes it's when you start your day just thinking, oh, what color would I like my day to be today?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe green. And then you look around in your room and you look at what objects in your house are green. And then when you start your day and you go out into the environment and then you look at what images or objects or things that you see around you that are green, and somehow then there is that curiosity of like, oh, like, why did I pick green? Or like, what does green mean to me? And it will mean something different for everybody. So that's one that I think is really accessible as well for people. Another that links to that is nature. I love nature, mm-hmm, and I take a lot of inspiration from nature, and nature holds me. I mean, it's free.
Yeah, it's a natural, free.
Yeah, it's free.
Healing
out
tool.
There. Yeah. So the next time you step out of your house or you look out of your window and you see a tree or you see a bunch of green, just noticing how many shades of green do I see here?
Mm.
And you'd be surprised, because the first time I did that exercise, I was like, I did not notice how many different shades of green there was at Botanic Gardens. Like, I was like, and then you can explore that to texture. And then you can, and then what is flowing, like what is moving in this environment, in the environment around me now. And there's a whole other practice called forest bathing that is absolutely beautiful as well. And there's another exercise that I feel also really is helpful when you're feeling quite overwhelmed or you're feeling like you need to just pace yourself and calm down. It's the 5-4-3-2-1 exercise. I don't know whether you...
Yeah.
But it's just engaging a bit of the senses, like 5 things that you see, 4 things that you hear, 3 things you can smell, 2 things you can...
Is it touch?
Touch. 2 things you can touch. I was like, what other senses have I missed? I was about to say 2 things I can taste. And then 1 thing you can taste. But I mean, you can jumble around the senses of what works best for you. But it's just connecting into the different, your different senses, right? Into a very sensory embodied experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those are really powerful ones.
Yeah.
I would just like to add on one more
sure,
that I do personally as well, is holding my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So in times of overwhelm or times where I feel like my mind is a bit clouded, I would just hold my heart, listen to it, and, you know, just see what it wants to say to me, and just talk back to it and then move on from my day.
It's just taking points of acknowledgement, right? Sometimes we're so quick to like, I don't want to listen to you right now. Stop bothering me.
Yeah.
But actually, if you just take a moment to tune in and be like, what it is, and just acknowledge it, most of the time it just wants to be seen, or it just wants to be heard.
Yeah.
It just wants to feel acknowledged.
I think these exercises are really powerful, although they sound like, you know, simple, just looking around. But it is so important to help the individual to kind of really connect back to themselves, their senses, their environment, and to really just orient themselves to the here and now. And I think that is something that often gets disconnected, and they just mentally, emotionally just check out, because living in the here and now, being here, is just really extremely stressful. And I would like to invite, you know, you, dear listener, to just, you know, try these exercises out for yourself. You know, so as mentioned by my guest, just trusting the process, right? Don't overthink what comes out of it, but just allowing yourself to just go through the process, giving yourself the permission to be curious, to try, and see where it takes you, right? You'll never know till you try it out. So do it.
And also remembering that creativity is not about what you create. It's not actually about, like we mentioned earlier, it's not about the artwork. It's not about the best performance that you put up. It's actually the process of it. It's the process of exploring, and the process of being curious, and the process of just tuning in.
Beautiful. So I think, you know, this conversation has been so insightful. I learned so much from the both of you. You know, thank you so much for sharing such beautiful insights, nuggets of wisdom with our dear listeners out there. But before we conclude today's episode, a little tradition that we have in the Good Life podcast is this segment called the Quick Fire Round.
Wow.
So basically, I pose 5 questions to each of you, same questions. The objective here is to say the first thing that comes to your mind, to not overthink it. Are you ready?
We can do that.
Okay, let's do this.
Are you ready?
Let's do this. Okay, first question. What's the most surprising thing you've learned about yourself through your work?
That I'm messy.
Nice.
And I love mess.
The first thing that came to my mind is blue.
Blue?
I don't know why, but blue.
Does it have any like meaning behind that color?
The imagery that comes to mind is the deep ocean and a little shell.
Ooh, that's nice. It's cute. Yeah. Okay.
That was the first thing. I'm not cheating.
Question number 2. If you could pick up a new skill in an instant, what would it be?
Learning an instrument for me.
What would
that be? Piano.
Oh, okay, nice. Yeah.
Mine would be baking.
Okay.
Like being like a, like really baking cool stuff. Like patisseries and a baguette.
Mm, oh, that's nice. You could bake it and then eat it. Alrighty, question number 3. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Mine is, you don't always have to do things on your own.
Mm. I love that.
I think mine is just trust yourself.
Beautiful. Yeah. Powerful. Question number 4. What's one thing that's always guaranteed to make you smile?
Oh, my dog.
Whatever in the moment.
Nice. Number 5. Last question. If you could switch lives with one person for a day, who would it be and why?
I don't think I would. Yeah, I don't think I was.
How about you, Gaidri?
I'm not sure. Probably somebody who lives like up in the mountains or in the forest.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah. Living up in the mountains.
Yeah.
That's a cool life.
Yeah.
That is cool. Now that you mentioned that. But it's okay. I'm sticking to the first thing that came.
You're happy being Amber.
Yeah. Just being with a lens of curiosity. But I would want to like be able to teleport and like go to places and like quickly see.
Take a peek.
Yeah, take a peek.
Yeah, that would be nice too. I've always dreamt of the ability to teleport.
Right?
That would be really cool. So thank you so much, Amber and Gayatri, for joining us on the Good Life podcast. It's been such a beautiful one. I learned so much. And for the dear listeners out there, I hope you jot down like, you know, some notes. And if you have some insights to share, feel free to share them on our Instagram, thegoodlife_therapy. We would love to hear from you. So I can't wait for you to listen to the next episode. In the meantime, take care and have a beautiful day ahead. Bye-bye.
Bye.